Lord Jesus, among us now, we pray that you open our hearts and minds to hear your word, to obey it, and to rejoice in it. Amen. When I was a child, I was afraid of the dark. And even up until I was a teenager, and my kind mum used to leave the light on for me when I went to bed. And she tried to comfort me and tell me that when she was a child, she was also afraid of the dark, but she'd grown out of it. Well, I don't think I have. Before Christmas, I had a bad allergic reaction to something I put on my legs, which itched and burned and itched all night long. What I needed to do was to put my legs out of bed to cool off. But I thought, what if something grabs my legs? So I itched and burned my way through the night with both Walter and I suffering unnecessarily. Suffering unnecessarily. That's often what we do in the dark, isn't it? Our imaginations have more exercise than an Olympic athlete, but with only fear as the prize. In the season of Epiphany, we enter into the season of light, and this is celebrated in the Eastern Church as fully as Christmas. Well, we're celebrating the light too this morning. But I'd like to start with verse 2 of the Isaiah reading. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. To a people burdened by darkness and trouble, God promised the redeeming light of his glorious presence. From the moment of the fall in the Garden of Eden, to the time of Isaiah, to the time of the birth of Christ, in our present day, and until the coming again of Jesus, darkness has been, is, and will continue to be a reality of life for us. The fear and the destruction of the darkness takes many forms in our personal lives and throughout the world. Greed, war, poverty, oppression, abuse, cruelty, disease, addictions, we could go on, couldn't we? We will continue to live in the midst of darkness with all the sufferings and distress it causes. That's the fact of life. But we remember that God has spent the whole of history since the fall chasing us through the darkness of our own doing so that he can rescue us and bring us into his marvellous light. The reading from Isaiah this morning has been titled The Ingathering of the Dispersed. The radiant glory of God's presence among his people will attract kings and nations. His scattered people will be restored from different lands. Valuable gifts will be brought to the temple, including gold and frankincense. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Hallelujah to that. And so we move now to the kings, the wise men and the magi, however we want to speak of them. Travelling a great distance, seeking the place of the special light which they had seen as a sign in the sky. A star became a sign to follow for the Eastern star experts, and God used their expertise and his creation to lead the foreigners to greet Jesus. They travelled with it to Jerusalem to understand its great significance and to find the new king whose birth it announced. And during his ministry, what was it that Jesus said of himself to the people as he claimed his identity with God? He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The light of life, a light in the darkness of life. And we've already considered that life involves conflict between God, who is good, and evil powers. Evil is darkness, shutting out opportunity to see or know good. But God, our God, is the source of light which exposes evil for what it is. Jesus is that light in person, God become man, exposing the evil of the world and pointing the way to God. Why are we all here today? Why is every individual here today gathered to worship Jesus as the wise men did? What are the stories of our journeys? What were the signs that we followed? The answers to these questions are fascinating, I can imagine, and fantastic. Fantastic, not in a Hollywood kind of a way, but fantastic because of one thing. That God desired that we are here, and by one way or another, he has accomplished it. And what about our journey, our walk with God? For sure, it isn't always straightforward, clear, or comfortable. And as we seek for signs of the will of God in our lives, there is always the menacing darkness threatening to throw us off course, to obstruct or destroy us. Sometimes I see the signs very clearly, as if I'm driving in Las Vegas and all those flashing lights, millions of them, the sheer numbers, unmistakably guiding my way. Other times, it's like driving through a heavy fog. I'm not able to see more than 1 meter ahead, and it feels very scary. But most times, I'm somewhere in between. The reality is, the real light, the unmistakable light, lives within us. When we accept Jesus into our hearts, he illumines the darkness and all that hides in it and breaks it. I find that a very wonderful and humbling thing, that God still loves me, whatever he finds. That is the beauty of the love of God, the power of his grace in me, in all of us. And under the heading, "The servant, a light to the nations," in Isaiah, God says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench." Whatever we feel during our journey, our walk with God, wherever we are led, however bright or dim is the degree of light by which we are walking, hope is within us and endures and remains. When we become Christians, Jesus, the light of the world, enters our hearts and dwells there. We become children of the light. We will never be in despair, in total darkness, without hope. And we shouldn't worry about how bright Jesus' light is shining in us at any given time. God uses us at his bidding, in his way, and in his time. And I'm reminded of an African proverb I once read, which has had a massive impact on my life, both personally and when I feel overwhelmed by the evil on a global scale. A candle is a protest at midnight. It says, "I beg to differ." That's very powerful, I think. However tiny that candle flame is, the darkness of midnight is indeed broken. The light of love, the light of hope, the light of glory, the light of Jesus in my heart, in your hearts forever. And what a wonder to cause us to worship. And what a wonder to share. The light of Christ is not meant to light up just our own lives. It is to share. In fact, it's an involuntary consequence that God intended. For those whose Jesus lights their hearts will themselves become signs, lights, stars, attracting people who do live in total darkness. But I think that's another sermon for another day. So today we worship Jesus, thanking him that he has led us into his marvellous light. We praise Jesus, thankful that he dwells in our hearts. We offer him ourselves afresh to be used as his stars, and we rejoice in his eternal glory, radiance and splendour. Amen.